Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. You know, on this show, in this segment in particular, we talk about some serious stuff, some wonky stuff. And my guest today is somebody who also spends a lot of time writing about really serious things, writing about the intersection of authoritarianism on kind of both the left and the right, and about the ways in which government, you know, should work, or but oftentimes doesn't. But today, it's the week here at the end of the year. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you out there. And I thought we'd just have a little bit of fun. So my guest today is Stephanie Slade. She's a senior editor at Reason Magazine, and she's here to tell us a bit about the colorful and libertarian history of Key West, which is the subject of a piece in the latest edition of the print magazine, of Reason Magazine. You can find that. We have a whole issue dedicated to Florida, which is in many ways the most interesting state in the country, I think. And fittingly enough, Stephanie joins us from Florida on the phone right now. Thanks for taking some time with us today, Slade.
Thanks, Eric. Happy to be here.
I found this just to be sort of a fascinating piece about a place that, I mean, I think I had some idea about the history of Key West, but never in this level of detail. Key West is maybe the most libertarian place in the United States?
Yeah, I mean, that was the question I set out to ask. It certainly seems on first blush like a libertarian place, and so I thought I would look into the history, its history, and see if the reputation stacks up. And I found that for the most part, it does.
You go back in the piece all the way to kind of the early 20th century when Key West was, I mean, it had existed before that. There had been people living there before that, but it had become a place where there was a lot of trafficking of alcohol, tobacco, stuff like that.
Yes, it was definitely, it got its reputation as a den of vices, and this especially exploded. I mean, it was already the case that it was a place you could go to find gambling and prostitution, but during Prohibition, this was one of the major ports of entry for booze coming into the country from the Caribbean.
And that's generated, I mean, obviously there's been a, obviously there's a connection there to like Ernest Hemingway and, you know, the kind of arts culture that existed in Key West. I think that was probably the thing that I knew about Key West before reading this piece. But you go into some of the history here too of like the way in which the federal government then tried to, after this kind of libertarian cultural place existed, then during the New Deal, you had an attempt to sort of institutionalize that as like, this is what Key West is defined by, is this thing that emerged really spontaneously.
Yeah, this guy named Julius Stone, who worked, he was a New Deal federal administrator, and he went down to Key West, and he was like, you know, it was suffering during the Great Depression, and he said, we're gonna sort of revitalize the economy by making this a tourist destination. And so he pumped huge amounts of federal dollars into the economy to try to turn it into this arts culture. So they hired painters to paint murals, and they hired actors to stage plays. And so I write in the piece that actually maybe one of the least libertarian things about Key West history that I discovered is that this arts or artsy culture that is very famous, that Key West is very famous for, was in many ways not an organically evolving thing, but was essentially centrally planned during the New Deal.
And that's, of course, what kind of drove Hemingway away, drove away some of the people who had been there back when the place was, not funded by federal arts grants. We're talking with Stephanie Slade. She is a senior editor at Reason Magazine and the author of a piece, Long Live the Conk Republic, about the history, the mostly libertarian history, as she puts it, of Key West, Florida. Stephanie, last couple minutes here, let's talk about the Conk Republic stuff, because this is the thing that I think is probably the most fascinating part of the history of the island here. Back in 1982, the Border Patrol kind of cut Key West off from the rest of the country.
That's right. They set up a checkpoint at the top of Highway 1, which is basically the only road in and out of the Keys, the Florida Keys, to get from the mainland onto the island. And they set up this border checkpoint, and they stopped every car, supposedly looking for illegal immigrants, but clearly also looking for illegal drugs, because this had been, again, a major, always the Keys were a major port of entry for illegal substances.
The result of this was that Key West sort of kind of declared independence, not really, but in a way.
Yeah, exactly. So the mayor, so what happened was this caused a huge a negative impact shock on the tourism industry, because people did not want to go down to Key West on the weekend if they were not going to be able to get home, or if they were going to have to sit in traffic for hours and hours trying to get home. And so the business owners and the mayor of Key West went ballistic, and they tried to file a federal injunction to get the checkpoint removed, and that didn't work. And so they took matters into their own hands, and they called a press conference, and they declared that they were seceding from the Union. And they said, if you're going to treat us like a foreign country where you have to go through a border checkpoint to get from, say, Miami to Key West, then we're going to become one. And they literally created their own flag. They declared themselves the Conch Republic. He stopped going by mayor of Key West and started going by prime minister. It was clearly a publicity stunt, but it was one that was done out of genuine anger over the situation and an attempt to draw attention to what they felt was a very unjust situation, and it worked. The checkpoint was removed, and this idea that Key West is not just a city or an island, but rather a place with a quote-unquote sovereign state of mind, a sovereign, you know, independent country, is now a major part of the culture down there and of the thing that people go down to experience. So they have an Independence Day celebration in April, I think it is, on the date when they had declared this independence. They do things like they stage mock battles between the visitors and citizens of Key West against the U.S. Navy to show that they're an independent country. I mean, it's a really fun, long-running gag. You can even go and buy a passport for the Conch Republic, and there have been documented cases of people using that passport. They shouldn't be able to do this, but they have, to travel abroad and then re-enter the United States.
Maybe Key West, I mean, maybe it's the most libertarian place in America. Maybe it's the most American place in America. I mean, we're a country that was founded on the idea of secession, and that's, you know, I guess what Key West kind of maintains that ethos. Really fascinating piece. History of Long Live the Conch Republic. That's the name of the piece. You can find it in the latest issue of Reason Magazine or online at reason.com. It's out from behind the paywall now, so check it out there. That's all the time we got today. Slade, thanks for taking some time with us.
Thank you.
And again, that is Stephanie Slade, senior editor at Reason Magazine. Check out that piece online and everything else that we've been working on throughout the year and into next year as well at Reason.com. For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Boehm. Catch me right back here next week in the new year on another edition of American Radio Journal.